Omnibus is a production of iHeartRadio.
Receiving this message. We are Ken Jennings and John Roderick. We speak to you from our present, which we can only assume is your distant past, the turbulent time that was the early 21st century.
Fearing the great cataclysm that will surely befall our civilization, we began this monumental reference of strange and obscure human knowledge. These recordings represent our attempt to compile and preserve wonders and esoterica that would otherwise be lost.
So whether you're listening from an advanced civilization or have just reinvented the technology to decrypt our transmissions, this is our legacy to you.
This is our time capsule. This is the Omnibus. You have accessed entry 500.ex1202, certificate number 44270. The French Revolutionary Calendar.
Quetzal H. Quattle, we sacrificed the wrong person. Now the Earth will be destroyed after the 13th Baktun. Let's see, converting to base 10, assuming for the birth of Jesus, invent and then carry the leap years from 11, and the world will end in 2012.
And it will be Obama's fault.
First of all, if any kind of pedantry exists in the far future, which I assume it will not,
That's
got to get bred out of the species.
Yeah, or whatever species. Who is going to, I mean, hopefully there's not an internet where people can interject their comment about how you got the car license plate wrong.
And certainly you're less likely to reproduce if you're always saying things like, you said less, but you mean fewer.
Right.
I mean, you're pretty much out of the gene pool the first time you pull that in a grocery checkout line.
Any circumstance where you say actually is going to decrease your chances to spread your genes.
I got actually about Jeopardy yesterday on Twitter, and I really thought, what more do I have to do on this quiz show to not get actually about it?
What was the actually?
Oh, it was, I credited a specific Jeopardy champion with a certain level of greatness, and was actually, that actually he, it was another guy who we should be appreciating.
I see. I get actually'd on my Friendly Fire podcast all the time about, I'll make some assertion that Churchill did a thing or that the Battle of the Bulge was a certain way. And boy, it attracts. I mean, war podcasts attract actuallys. They're thick on the ground.
I would assume that actually the less actually, that in reality.
Mm-hmm. You go ahead and tell me what you assume.
The less important the thing, like the more obsessive the corrections.
Yeah, for sure. There are people out there that are watching war movies and saying, that is a later iteration of that gun.
Right.
You know, I can tell from the sights.
The pedantic objection here to the title would be that the calendar, the new calendar introduced at the French Revolution, was never called the French Revolutionary Calendar, even though that's what it's commonly known as.
What was it called at the time?
I think they would have just called it
the new calendar.
The calendar. It's like, you know, it's like going to a Chinese restaurant in Beijing. It's just called a restaurant. I think they would have said, I think typically it's more accurately the French Republican calendar because it came with the creation of the new republic, not with the beginning of the revolution in the streets.
So we see calendars change quite a bit depending on who the rulers are. And obviously there's a Chinese calendar and there are other calendars still in existence, the Jewish calendar.
Jewish calendar, Muslim calendar, using different datings for years. In the West, we've been weirdly stable calendar-wise. I mean, the switchover from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar is actually kind of a series of minor tweaks.
But the
Julian calendar was just fine. And even the Julian calendar was just a series of minor tweaks over what the Greeks used. So our general idea of how our calendar works in our time, 360-odd days of 12 months, 7-day weeks.
30-day months, more or less.
Yes.
With some corrections.
Right. So, the devil's in the details.
And then a weird February.
Right, because no number of whole number days is going to actually keep up with how long it takes the Earth to go around the sun because there's a fraction there.
But why don't we have 2 months
Of 182 and a half days each.
No. No. What?
Is that your new system? What? It's January and Kenuary.
I mean, maybe as the magnetic pole changes and the Earth starts orbiting the sun faster and faster and faster.
Well, first of all, our hair will all blow back and we'll all look like Ed Grimley.
No, I mean, why are two of the 31-month days not 30-month days so that February could also be a 30-month day?
I see. Yeah, so you've got weird kind of cultural relics going back in our calendar, and it really is because it's super ancient. Like, the Babylonians came up with a 7-day week, so we still do it. There must be something inherent, as we talked about in the Indigo entry, something inherent to the number 7, because even in far-flung ancient China and Japan, people seem to like a 7-day week, maybe because of the 7 objects in the heavens. You know, to this day, we have Sunday and Moon Day and Saturn Day. So even the 7-day week, which is not tied to any astronomical constant, seems to be pretty constant.
Because it doesn't line up with a lunar month.
Right. The lunar month would be about 28 days.
But you would assume that that would be the basis, right? A lunar month.
Maybe that's the problem. You start with 12, 28 days, and then the math does not work out right for a full year. At that point, you're, 20 days short or something.
Right.
So either what do you want? A new shortened month? You want to make them all a little longer? And this is where you can start to get into some arguments.
But I'd like one short month.
What would you do with a shorter month? We do have one short month. We have February.
Well, right, but a lot shorter month? Like a 20-day month?
Are you saying you want Black History Month to be even shorter, John? That's not okay.
No, I'm saying I want a party month.
Oh.
Right? What if there's an entire month, short month, they'd call it, or short mo?
It's called Vengabus.
Yeah, Vengabus.
And they just play that Venga Boy song over and over all month long.
It would be a month where nothing, like nobody worked. It would just be the best month.
They have that in Europe,
mid to late August.
We don't have that here, but go to any empty European city at the end of the summer.
Right, they're all in the Algarve. That seems like a better arrangement. Like, make it a strict lunar calendar and then have a party month.
Well, a lot of the things we think of as kind of constants in our calendar, including the weekend, are actually kind of a new arrangement.
The weekend's like a 19th century or even early 20th.
Yeah, I think early 19th. It certainly did not spread to America for 50 or 100 years. But yeah, I think in the early 19th century, the early days of the Industrial Revolution, that's, the first time people were like, my job at the loom sucks now. I could really use
an extra day.
I could really use 2 days in a row off. Because
had Sunday.
Until off. Then, you always had your Sabbath, whatever that was in your...
Or Saturday.
Right. And in fact, that's a big reason why the French revolutionaries wanted to change the calendar. They thought our current calendar, which we think of probably as pretty secular, as just dripping with Jesus.
Oh, sure.
Like, they saw God all over the calendar.
But there's a lot more Roman in it than Christian.
That's true. And they objected to that too. One of the reasons why you want new names for months is because January is named for the god Janus and July is named for an absolute monarch. And right. So is August. So if you're really trying to purify the calendar Soviet style,
right,
you really need to get into some of these names.
You're emphasizing liberté and égalité.
There was a lot of anti-clerical feeling bound up in the French Revolution because of the circumstances that led to it.
Right.
France is in a lousy economic state and the king is forced to convene the Estates General to figure out a way out. The Estates General is kind of like a legislature, but it's kind of a scam because there are 3 different groups. You get one for the nobility, one for the clergy, and one for the commoners.
Right.
And the commoners are like, oh boy, this rules. And then they realize the clergy and the nobility pretty much always have the same interests and vote together.
Right. And there are only 1,400 clergy in the entire country. So
hundreds of thousands of commoners are like, wait a second. And so they were unable to get any of their
reforms
passed. And in addition to this, you have the rise of kind of an intellectual enlightenment class who is kind of personally offended that the French way of life, and in particular the calendar, is not as scientific as it could be. And this is why the French Revolution also has moves towards decimalization and metrication. Is that a word?
Metrification.
Metricification?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is metrification. That actually seems right.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing a bit, but now
metrification,
I'm on board.
What's your station?
So all the distances start to become kilometers. And this is also a secularist thinking that reason and science should have sway over the old traditions. The old traditions, of course, are also bound up with the Ancien Régime and, these are the temperatures we were using when the king was in.
Right.
Like, this is a new age. Why would we be using his crappy temperatures?
We don't have kingly temperatures. We have temperatures of the people.
You know, the revolution was all about upstripping the power of the clergy from modern life. The peasants had had enough. So you see the Jacobins rededicating cathedrals as, you know, temples of reason, for example.
And did they do, during the French Revolution, did they do the very popular thing during a revolution where they stormed the churches and burned all the icons and desecrated them? Or were they much more, were they conscious of those things as also having art history?
Yeah, I don't think the de-Christianization of France was particularly Stalinist.
Right.
They wanted to have deists, you know, enlightened, restrained deist services in their churches instead of Catholic mass.
Right. They didn't eliminate God entirely. They just eliminated the church.
They want a more logical Vulcan God.
Well, and like a lot of these attempts by a revolutionary culture to reform the ancien regime, as you say, ancien regime.
Did you just backward mask that? If I play that backwards, are you going to be like, worship Jesus in your churches?
But they tried to establish price controls on food, which created instability in the finance. You know, they eliminated private property in some cases. On the plus side, they eliminated slavery in the French colonies. But they did, what it was, I guess, was that they eliminated a lot of debt. They reformed the economic systems and they, you know, it was kind of like a Fight Club scenario. They just blew up all the banks.
We don't have time for your anti-Bernie Sanders tirades in this entry, John. I'm sorry that he wants to get rid of college debt, but
anyway, it created like crazy runaway instability.
And that happened with the de-Christianization thing. It turned out that massive numbers of Frenchmen just wanted to go to mass.
Right.
So a lot of this stuff doesn't really take. But the calendar, they kind of stick with. A few years before the revolution, a French atheistic thinker and essayist named Sylvain Maréchal had proposed a 100% secular calendar. He wanted to keep Christmas, so here's his genius idea. He realizes that Isaac Newton was born on December 25th. So 25th becomes Isaac Newton's birthday.
Really?
It's Mary Newtonmas. You can imagine this. You can imagine the Starbucks cups.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I guess you have apples instead of eggnog and cider and fruitcake.
So what was the theme of the calendar? How did it work? How was it different from our past and present calendar?
Right. So this turns out to be the most determined attempt in the West to overthrow the calendar that we have seen in thousands of years, because the government really throws its weight behind it, convenes this blue ribbon panel of scientists, not just scientists and mathematicians, but poets and playwrights, to think about how do we put the spirit of La France into the calendar.
Oh, it's a velvet revolution.
Essentially.
So wait a minute. Just to rewind, are you saying Bernie Sanders doesn't want a new calendar? I haven't read all the way into his platform.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders wants an 18-month calendar. Each month is named for a different Ben and Jerry's flavor. Oh, it's happy birthday. It's the 5th of Jerry's Garcia.
Chunky monkey.
Chunky monkey. In this case, so the scientists and mathematician decide fairly quickly that the main thing you need to do is get rid of the Sabbath.
Sure.
So, you know, there's a lot of God in this calendar.
But you don't want to get rid of one day off.
Right.
You just want to...
You're going to have people mad if you get rid of one day off. And this kind of becomes the core of one of the problems with the calendar. But they go to 10-day weeks.
Oh.
Because then if you stick with a 7-day week, even if the Sabbath is not there, people will be like, wink, wink, this is the Sabbath.
Right.
So you really have to, from the ground up, you have to pull out the roots of it and say, guess what? Months are no longer 4 to 4.5 weeks.
So 3 10-day weeks.
Which they call decades.
And as you know, 3 is the magic number.
I thought, is 10 not the magic number for an enlightened French revolutionary?
3 is the magic number. Well, yes, it is.
They didn't know that.
A man and a woman had a little baby.
So they use the magic number of months, and they get rid of the days of the week. So there are no longer days named after false gods like Thor and Tyr and Saturn.
Is it just day 1, day 2, day 3?
It essentially is. Primidi, duodi, tridi. It is the first day, the second day, the third day. So you'd really be like, thank God it's 8th day.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't say thank God.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
T-R-I-N. Thank Robespierre. It's nonidi. And you really would be like, is today a 5th day? It feels like a 6th day to me. Is it really a 5th day?
Right. It's only a 5th day?
Yeah.
So how many days off were there in a 10-day week?
So you get your 10th day off. Your decidi is the day off, and it's not a religious festival, but it's a day for the people or whatever.
Right.
There's also, I think, a half day off midway. You know, you get kind of a half day on Wednesday. So the ratio is not bad. They're still getting about a full day every 7 days off.
Right. They actually get one half day extra.
That is correct.
Right.
Excellent math skills. But it's still not a huge hit, I think, you know, because there's, if what you want is the full day off, there's a lot longer between full days off.
Sure.
And I feel like just a morning off, you're going to fill, think about it, you're going to fill it with errands.
Yeah.
Your boss is going to say, I know, but can you come in?
I would sleep in anyway.
It's just 3 hours yet. Right, exactly. You wake up and the day is gone.
Did it grate against, I mean, as a musician, right, we have a...
Is this the point of view we need to look at this from?
From the
point of view of indie rock.
There is something perfect about a 3 minute pop song.
Yes.
As we've tried to have 4 minute pop songs, there's something about 3 minutes that is as much as the mind can take in pop song terms, or it's as much as it wants. It's kind of like Leonardo's ratios.
You see it in movies and TV as well. A movie about an hour and a half to 2 hours feels pretty good.
90 minutes long is great, and two and a half hours is too much.
TV seasons used to be 22 to 26 hours, and now we realize that's just crazy. That was only for commercial reasons. To tell a story, you maybe want 8 to 11 of these.
Right.
So yeah, there does seem to be a perfect aesthetic of how long a thing should be.
And is that also true of weeks? Did people just instinctively start to get antsy around Setiendi?
Well, these are all people that would have come up with normal weeks. So it's hard to say, you know, if maybe a new baby would not be like, does this week feel long to you? Yeah, this week feels long to me. But for people who had a 7 day week kind of built around the rituals of the Sabbath, this was seemed like a hard sell.
Yeah.
And of course, that gives you only 30 days a month. It's a 360-day year. That gives you astronomical problems.
Now, why wouldn't they do 6 5-day weeks? Because I think people would really jump on that bandwagon. Like, oh, whoa, it's 5 days?
More days off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they could have sweetened the pot.
Sweeten the pot a little bit. And five feels just as even as 10, although it's odd.
You're thinking like a politician. You're thinking, how do I sell my program? I think they needed you.
Yes. Well, so many.
They needed your ancestor, Jean-Baptiste Roderick.
So many past regimes needed me.
That's your takeaway as you read history.
Let's hope that the future regimes bozos. Also need me.
Don't forget to buy John's history bestseller, Look at These Bozos, in which he considers every period of history that did not have his insights.
I'm sitting and painting my Ronin and knowing full well I could have done a better job.
So if you have 360-day years, obviously you're going to start to fall behind the procession of the seasons pretty quick. And they seize on a thing which is pretty much what the ancient Egyptians did. I think the ancient Egyptians also had, you know, 30-day months with some leftover. So they would have 5 or 6 kind of festival days at the end of the year. This is your short month.
Short month. It's a much shorter month.
This is January.
Short month.
They would call them these 5 or 6 extra days at the end of every year, the sans culottes,
without the culottes.
Yeah, people who don't have any culottes. The sans culottes were it just means the pantsless, basically.
Of course.
The men without breeches. These were the kind of the...
Men without hats, except without pants.
Men without hats, but upside down.
Uh-huh.
It's a very, very unsafe dance they're doing. This is just the name for the urban lower class Parisians who were really the heart and soul of the revolution.
Did they really not have pants?
They were just flapping around.
I've seen those paintings of the revolution. That one girl doesn't have a blouse that stays closed, but everybody else seemed to have pants on.
That's how history cleans it up. They're like, we can't have these Parisians out in the street flopping around. Not with all these guillotines around. That seems dangerous.
Ouch.
No, I think they didn't have a particular kind of the breeches that the upper class would wear.
Sure.
I think they're just wearing whatever the cheaper peasant version of that is. Pajama bottoms? Sweats?
Sure. No, I bet they're made out of jute or something really uncomfortable. Yeah.
They're still wearing their jute, passed down from father to son. So these 6 extra days salute the common man. These are the sans culottes.
There's here.
5 most years, and there's the le sextile, the 6th, on years when they need to catch up, which is once every 4 years or every Franciade.
They've thought of everything.
They have a new patriotic name for everything. It's not actually clear in the law how they're going to compute when to do one of these sex deals.
Oh, because they're eliminating Christmas. Are they also eliminating New Year, where we normally put New Year's Day?
They move New Year's, and I'll get to that in a second. But the idea of when you add your sixth year, is it really just, do you do it every 4 years like we were doing it in the past? Or do you wait until the equinox is now falling on the wrong day and you need to move it back?
Right.
Which could be 4 or 5, depending on how long it happens. So the law was never clear. And spoilers, they never got to, you know.
Didn't get that far?
They have not had to work this out for hundreds of years. So like a calendar that worked in the short term would have been just fine, it turns out. As for your, oh, and the and each day of the Sans Culottes has a different theme. It's kind of like Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
The first, each one is a different fete, a feast or a celebration. And at first it's the Feast of Virtue, but the rest are not actually based on personal attributes. Like you'd think it would be liberté, égalité, but in fact, it's like different axes, I think, of how you would want to measure the greatness of a French revolutionary. You know, there's the Feast of Virtue, but then there's the Feast of Talent, the Feast of Labor, the Feast of Convictions. These things are not parallel at all.
No, but let me just say, I think the Feast of Virtue would be the most boring of the feasts.
Oh, sure, but you just got to wait because tomorrow the Feast of Talent is coming up, and then that's when the lip sync competition is.
Yeah, that seems like the jazziest of them.
The Feast of Awards, weirdly.
Oh, so it's just like Han and Luca walk up, get a medal? Chewie doesn't?
Let's get a medal day here in the French Revolution. I assume that would be a day maybe for the granting of yearly honors by the state, maybe.
Right, I see.
And then finally, on
creating an elite class.
No. Everybody gets the same honors.
All pigs are the same.
Except for Wookiees. And then the sixth day would be the Feast of Revolution, which really means they couldn't think of another thing, I think.
Right.
Those seem a little sketchy, considering all the blue ribbon talent they enlisted.
Shot hurled around the world. It was the Feast of the Revolution.
So you asked about when the new year would come. And this was very tricky. Do you stick with January 1st, which seems kind of, I mean, it could be science-y because it's kind of solstice-based.
Yeah, why not? Well, but the thing is, why not just start it on December 21st? Or what, you know, start it on the equinox.
Right. So that's what they end up thinking. But the question then becomes, do we backdate this to the beginning of the revolution? Like July 14th or whatever, the day we took King Louis into
prison. Oh, because, right, you want to, this is a revolutionary calendar, so it's year one, year two, right?
Okay, they absolutely do that, yes. They start with year one again, because, again, the years are full of Jesus.
Right.
You can't be this many years since the Messiah was born if you're like, actually, we're a little too smart for that mumbo-jumbo now.
But if you started the new year on the equinox, Isaac Newton's birthday would come up immediately. It would come up during the feast days, and that seems like you're being robbed.
It's Isaac Newton is being robbed. There's no way people are going to buy him two presents.
Right. Isaac Newton there on, it's like Feast of Labor Day.
Come on, Isaac.
Boring.
Like, we just gave you a New Year's present 4 days ago. There's no way we're also getting you a Christmas birthday present.
Well, now here's a question for you, because if I were in charge of the revolutionary calendar, I would put the 4 to 6 feast
the extra
days,
yeah.
I'd put them at the summer equinox, because isn't that where you want your days off?
Your extra time.
You don't want your days off in the darkest time of year. You want like to be able to frolic.
Well, here's what these geniuses did. So your suggestions are absolutely right. Don't put the extra days in the dead of winter. Start at a scientific date. They decide to start on September 22nd, 1793.
Which would be the autumnal equinox.
It also matches the day on which the French Republic is officially founded.
Oh, that's very convenient.
So they managed to merge science and self-promotion, which is the two things you want in your revolution, right?
You're back to Bernie's platform.
Science and self-promotion, both Sanders. But there was a lot of discussion, like, do we backdate it? Like, is this now year two? And that's what they end up doing. I think they say, this is year two, actually. We've got the calendar going, but last year was the year that the French Republic started on this date.
Well, that's what they did with the Jesus calendar too, right? They backdated it all the way.
Sure. It's just like a check you know you can't cash. Year two is a bit of a problem. And, you know, if you put it in Roman numerals, it looks like 11. But they do tend to do the years in Roman numerals. And as a result, year two and year 11 looked a lot like each other, which was a little tricky.
It only is a problem in year two and year five and then year 10.
You notice with Super Bowls, it gets a little weird. Like, it was Super Bowl XLIX, you know, 49. And then
X-Lix.
Sponsored by X-Lix, the official lixative of the Super Bowl. But the next year, they did not go with Super Bowl L because some Roman numerals just look weird.
Right.
It was Super Bowl 50. So at some point, the French would have had to grapple with the fact that some Roman numerals are more Roman than others.
Well, right. And why are we celebrating those imperialists by using Roman numerals? Why didn't they come up with revolutionary numerals?
Year one, every time a science fiction scenario has like a new dating system, it always seems really Orwellian to me. Like, we have literally erased the past. Like, every time you write the year, you've just erased thousands of numbers.
Do you think there will be a time when futurelings date the beginning of time to the day the internet became self-aware or whatever? Like, there will surely be an attempt to do this in the future. And in year 32, there was no way to know that they were already 32 years past year zero. Right? It came much later.
Yeah.
So we might be living in a period.
We might be in the period that's about to go away. It's going to be backdated away.
Or I'm thinking we might be in the period that we're in the very early days of the new calendar, because it started when ARPANET did some, I don't know, when Al Gore invented the internet.
It started with the Google IPO.
Yeah.
This is kind of the gimmick, and it's a bit of a joke in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. I don't know if you remember, but all the dates in the Brave New World future dystopia are measured AF, which is after Ford. They saw the automotive industry as the
beginning,
the revolution that will reshape the future. And, you know, he wasn't wrong.
Well, maybe it's when human beings first landed on the moon.
Oh, yeah.
Which will mean I'm born in the past times and you're born in the new era.
I was born in year five.
And I'm born in year -1.
Yeah, that was something. But presumably, if it's like the Christian era, by the time this is all decided, anybody who would be negative will be dead, right?
Right. And they may, like, post-date me a little bit because I'm so important to the new era.
You'll get grandfathered in.
I'm year zero, too.
John was clearly the forefront of the new era, even if he was asterisk a little older. It could be AF just like in Huxley, but it would be, like, after Fortnite.
Right, or it could be AF like on the internet. Could be like new dates AF.
It is the year 60 AF. The main thing they want to change is the names of the months. And this is kind of the craziest stuff. Because as we said, they've got gods, they've got absolute monarchs, both of which are out of fashion. They also have inaccurate numbers. I mean, does it bother you that Sept, Oct, Nov, Des are the abbreviations for 7, 8, 9, 10, but because of the new months added in Rome, these are now the ninth, tenth, eleventh, and twelfth months.
It does bother me. But, you know, so many things stick in my craw as I walk around.
But this one, for a third of the year,
no.
You've got to be like, come on.
Because, I mean, do you have to do this? August is particularly problematic for me, but so is April. Do you have to, like, mentally count as you're writing dates on checks? Like, oh, it's August. Which one is that? Oh, it's like, right, September is 9, so August is 8. Do you have to think?
Yes, I do. I usually get it right. But then when I go back, I'm like, it's June is 6. I can do 1 through 6.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the year, I'm like, yeah, for some reason, the middle is harder. I guess because you're counting from 1 and 12.
April always screws me up for some reason. I don't know why. I always want to put 5 for April, even though I know 5 is May.
I feel like I get that. My birthday is in May, and you write your own birthday a lot. When's your birthday?
September.
Okay. So, you know, you're good at the number you have to write a lot.
Right. But my mom's birthday is in August, and somehow I struggle always to get to 8. I know July is 7 because 7 is a magic number.
And therefore July, our nation's birthday.
And the best month in a way, the nicest. Well, I guess, which do you think is nicer, or July?
This is all very Northern Hemisphere centric.
It's true. If people in New Zealand are like, ugh, July.
If we're speaking to some kind of future marsupials who have cold weather in what we think of as the summer months, they're going to be very upset.
Tasmanian devils, I think, is who our audience is.
But they're literal devils. like hell has come to earth, and they're like on fire, and they have horns.
Literal devils.
They're dead Tasmanians who have come back and taken over the earth, and they were terrible during their lives.
Well, the thing is, weirdly, they showed up in Tasmania because they'd heard it was like full of devils, and they were like, this has got to be our spot.
This is the devil burhood. Where are they at?
And they realized they were just like little wombats or ferrets.
They're probably little. I cannot picture a Tasmanian devil.
They're not as big as you might think.
They're not like in the cartoons, because we all think of it as whirling around like in a Looney Tunes.
I think they're like Wolverines.
Yeah. They're badgers, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Although they have webbed feet.
And pouches and all kinds of gross mucousy secretions.
Super, like at the tail of a beaver.
Australia just takes normal animals and then they're like, but what if there was something super gross? What if there was a beak where there shouldn't be a beak?
Yeah, what if we put the face of a duck on this beaver?
I like how we're blaming the Australians for this. And then they were like, hey, I know.
Well, here's how evolution works.
So the French Revolution, the French Revolutionary year two, the first year, of course, begins, which is already Orwellian doublespeak, begins on September 22nd. So,
Two is the magic number.
So I guess the new French universe is a Libra or a Virgo, whichever.
Virgo.
They come up with neologisms for the new month names. A playwright named Fabre d'Églantine, who's a devoted follower of the revolution. In fact, when Marat is killed in the bath, he's the guy who takes over Marat's daily paper. He dreams up the new names, which are these. They come in seasons and they're themed. So there's three autumn months, which is when the year starts. The year now starts in autumn.
I like that.
It's how school calendars work. Right. As a dad, I am very into this idea. That everything should start in September when your kids go back to school.
In a way, September is the best month.
You've just come off your six feast days.
Right.
You know, the feast of self-worth and the feast of feasting and whatever the other four things are.
The football season starts. Everybody, you know, you can start wearing sweaters again.
And so they have 3 months, Vendémiaire, Brumaire, and Frimaire. The autumn months all have the same suffix, which is true of all the other seasons. And each is kind of a new word that derives from a French word. Vendémiaire from grape harvest, Brumaire from broom mist, Frimaire from frost. So yeah, from the French for Brumhilda. Because it's October.
Right.
Broom, perfect. Yeah. So these are all, as you can see, they're all kind of nature related. These are universal climate nature-y things that would happen in this month.
And yet the French revolutionaries were not pagans. I mean, they weren't reintroducing paganism. Because, I mean, that all kind of smacks of, or potentially smacks of, a return to nature worship, which would have been not revolutionary.
And it gets worse later because they try to take the saint's calendar and replace it with, a, you know, because every day had its own saint and a lot of customs were built around this. And they thought the only way to root that out would be to give every day its own plant.
Wow.
So it really does get kind of nature worshipy. But I guess they're just thinking, you know, we have a deistic God who has started the universe. He started like a watchmaker who started the progression of the seasons and the growth of the flowers and the cycle of the moisture. And so that's what we honor with these names, the implacable workings of the universe.
Right.
Winter, the 3 months, December to February, are Nivos, Pluvios, and Ventos, snowy, rainy, and windy.
Snowy, rainy, and the largest size of Frappuccino.
Yeah, Ventos. I'll have a very windy Ventos. Spring, and notice each season has a different set of suffixes. Spring is germinal, floreal, and prairial.
Oh, nice.
Meaning, you know, germinating seeds, flowers, and meadows. And then summer is mesidor, thermidor, and fructidor. Harvest, heat, and fruit. So associations with the seasons.
Right. If you're in fruit month, you know, not to hang out indoors, but go out and pick the bounty of cherries and tomatoes.
So, for example, today, as we record this, in our early 21st century calendar, it's April 21st of the year 2019.
Year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord 2019.
Let's drop that in there.
Let's make sure we leave him in. Don't take the Lord out of year of our Lord.
No.
That's the new Fox News thing. They're going to want to go back to saying year of our Lord. But if the French Revolutionary calendar had succeeded, today would be the 5th of Floreal, because we're here in early spring.
In what year?
The year CCXXVII, 227.
227.
Like the 90s sitcom with the
room 227.
No, that's room 222. This was five better. And they loved this. So this was kind of, you know, to me, this seems kind of pretty, actually. This is kind of, they had poets and playwrights come up with a new calendar, and it's very nice. Snowy, rainy, windy.
I'm sure people hanging out on a tennis court yelling at each other think this is nice, but do the people think it's nice?
It's widely criticized overseas, for example. You know, in England, making fun of the French Revolution was practically a full-time job.
Just as it is for me, too. You know, my mom is still mad.
And an English writer named John Brady talks about the puerilities and absurdities of this new calendar. First, for one thing, he makes the very valid point that, you know, these generalizations they're making, that, you know, winter is snowy, rainy, and windy, whereas summer is
hot,
harvest, heat, and fruit. There's parts of France, where, you know, France is a big enough country that some of those do not apply. You know, on the Riviera, you're having very different seasons than you are by the Dutch border.
Right. Hardly snowy down in Marseille.
Right. And, you know, so yeah, exactly. Brittany and the South are going to have very different seasons. And as well, France had overseas territories at this point as well. So if you're expecting French Guiana or Tahiti to use these names, well, it's the 5th of snowy here in the jungle.
And it's the middle of summer, too.
Right.
But puerile seems like maybe a little bit overboard. Like, there aren't any months, and I'm kind of surprised by this, there aren't any months. I mean, I guess spring has some fecundity words, but there's no, like, sex months.
Oh, maybe he just means that it seems kind of sentimental and greeting cardy. Oh, when you could have these beautiful ancient names with thousands of years of heritage, do you really want to have
Robert Frost poems?
Do you really want to have Rainy instead? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Like, I think that's what he thinks. It's basic. And he also writes, John Brady writes that some unknown British wit has come up with his own name for the French seasons. Wheezy, Sneezy, and Freezy.
That unknown British wit got me. He got me 200 years later.
Slippy, drippy, and nippy in the winter. Then the spring would be showery, flowery, and bowery. And in the summer, hoppy, croppy, and poppy. So he's...
I love it.
He's owning the French with perfect rhymes.
Oh, they're pawned.
And as I said, they went further than this. Not only did they give each month a nature-themed name, they wanted to replace the Saints calendar so that every day of the year...
Had a plant.
Had a different plant. Well, mostly plants. So every 10 days is the decidi, the day off. And those are all agricultural tools.
But no insect days.
Well, there are then every 5 days, so the midpoint, your half day off of your week, those are named for a common animal from country life. And as I was looking at the list, it does look like there are a few insects. I remember there's a cricket.
Right. I would much rather be like on Fox Day than on Trout Day. But that's maybe just my preference for furry mammals.
There actually is a Trout Day. Did you just make that up?
I'm sorry to our pescatarian or our pescatory friends.
September 1st. September 1st would have been Trout Day. Think how exciting if you're a sentient trout listening to this.
Yeah.
And you realize
there was a day.
September 1st.
And I didn't mean to disparage it.
You're just saying.
Yeah, the future foxes are like, yeah.
And then every other day is a plant. So it's kind of like some kind of weird farmer's almanac vibe when you go through the year and you see July 26th, that's the safflower.
So are the plants of the saints... Are they related to their seasonal plants? Like, you know, in the winter, you've got to have some, that's where your pines are and maybe your...
The one concession to that that's made is that between December and January, the nivose, the least sunny season of the year, instead of plants, there are minerals.
Right. That's so good.
There's gold copper day and tin day and zinc day.
That makes sense.
Would that really replace like, oh, here's St. Catherine. Here's the amazing life she lived. Here's the kid whose head she put back on. Here's how she
Tin Day.
Recovered from drowning. She's the patron saint of railroad engineers and little boys whose pajama flaps are falling open. And now all you get is December 8th, zinc.
Well, I mean, any revolutionary like overthrow of past traditions is really popular with zealots and maybe less popular with people that are just trying to go along to get along. And then you've got the vast majority of people who don't understand really the motivation for it, and they like things the way they were, right? People are, in the main, pretty change-averse.
Right. That's why you get all the inertia, where these top-down things, somebody in Beijing says, hey, we've got to do this. But by the time you get out to the provinces, everyone's like, I'm not doing that.
But there is a certain amount of monitoring that goes on in a revolutionary society, right? So your zealotous neighbor is coming by on Trout Day
with a
basket of trout.
If you bring somebody Valentine's Day cards, is really one of your neighbors going to be like speaking up for the loudspeakers to hear? No, I'm sorry. February 14th is now Woad Day.
Right.
Please bring me some of that pale blue dye Woad. I do not want these delicious candies.
It's my first anniversary. Bring me paper.
Oh, my birthday is... Exactly. It feels like one of those made up greeting card. Here's a list of gifts. My birthday is Wild Celery Day.
Oh, that is fairly descriptive of you. You are a little bit of a wild celery.
That's what that's what the ladies say. Are you okay with your birthday being on the record?
Yeah, let's hear it.
September what?
13th.
Is September. Well, that's, first of all, that's almost the end of the year.
Right.
That would be right before the feasts of good health and carbonated beverages.
Right.
Or whatever.
Ten days out, right? So this would be a time of celebration.
You are Goldenrod Day.
Oh, I'm literally Goldenrod.
Golden Roderick.
Yeah.
Isn't Goldenrod like a...
It's a sneezy...
I was about to say, it's a hay fever. It's sneezy, super, wheezy, and freezy.
Super sneezy. I'm not into Goldenrod typically, but I would love to be referred to as Goldenrod.
You'd look past the hay fever aspect of it?
Yeah. I mean, my my original email address all the way back in the 90s was hotrod@capitolhill.net. I just wish it had been Goldrod.
Why did Capitol Hill have its own email server?
There was an internet cafe on Capitol Hill that got capitolhill.net, owned by a friend of mine, and he was like, you need an email address.
You could have had hotrod@hotmail, and you didn't get it.
No, could have, should have.
Today, by the way, April 24th, Rossignol, the Day of the Nightingale. Isn't that nice?
Oh, wait. Oh, because Rossignol skis have a rooster as their logo. Is a Rossignol different than a Rossignol?
Rossignol is just French for nightingale.
Really?
So the ski company is...
Why do they have a freaking rooster as their logo? Why don't they have a nightingale?
Here's the problem. They go to the graphic designer.
They say, do a nightingale.
And he's like, I only know how to... It's like the kid in eighth grade that'll draw superheroes, but you can only draw Batman.
Right. I can only draw a rooster.
I only know one bird. Even a little crazier than this. So as you've implied, the calendar would be very hard to get to catch on.
Right.
But they classically overreach, as all tyrants do.
Double down.
And they also want decimal time.
Uh-oh.
So imagine this. 10-hour days of 100-minute hours.
Right. How long is a minute?
100 seconds. So on the plus side, each day is 100,000 seconds.
Yeah, that's
which is very nice if you have OCD.
This is incredible, actually.
Unfortunately, the math is terrible.
Right.
One of their hours would be almost 2.5 of ours. One of their minutes would be 1.5 minutes. And each second is a little too short.
Right.
So even if you've kind of internalized the ticking of a clock or whatever, nope. And this is a bridge too far. You know, with a new calendar, really all you have to do is, you need a printing press.
But now,
you can give the people a new calendar.
Let me ask, there's no Christ or Roman association with a 60-second minute and a 60-minute hour, is there?
They wanted to get rid of 420 so people would not smoke marijuana.
Well, I kind of agree with that.
Or I guess it just makes 420 longer.
The thing is,
you get 90 seconds of 420 now.
In Seattle, every day is 420 now?
Every minute is 420. I think this is just more of an idea of how this is crazy and not science-y. This is just metrication, decimalization.
Right, right, right.
Why should we have 24, 60, 60? This is dumb when we could just have 10, 100, 100. But of course, then you need a whole new clock industry. Every single clock is now wrong.
Although this is a burgeoning time for clocks. Right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a clockmaker, think of the government contracts you would get. Like, suddenly they're going to need 100,000 new 100,000 second clocks.
The late government building. Late 1800s, the clock technology was booming.
So it could be done, but you'd just have thousands of obsolete clocks. Every single clock in the kingdom, it's not a kingdom, every single clock in the republic is wrong.
Well, I mean, when futurelings look back, I'm sorry to keep normalizing you as people.
Our calendar.
But when people look, I did it again.
When organisms look back.
When futurelings look back at our time, they may say that we also are living in the era of obsolete clocks. I mean, you and I, in trying to time this episode, had to go find my retro clock off of the wall in the back of the house and bring it forward just to have there are hardly any actual clocks.
I have a little clock on the narrow part of my arm.
Right.
That I am never without.
Mickey Mouse clock.
I have to
clock.
Put it off and on several times a day, which just seems nuts. A society that didn't have these, you would be the worst kind of eccentric. Hey, look at that guy. He's got a little clock on his arm.
He's got a little clock.
What's his deal?
I've taken to wearing 3 wristwatches. They're all swatches, though, so it's a cool look.
Is it so you can pull down your cuff and be like, hey, buddy, are they all fake Rolexes?
Yeah. Want to buy an Ann?
Fake Rolexes? And, you know, obviously changing times would change every aspect of life. Like, you can get away with changing the days of the week. And really, what have you messed up? Like, how would our lives be different if weeks were 10 days?
Yeah.
The New Yorker would come a little less often and you wouldn't feel so guilty that you were behind.
I'm going to have to ask you to work on Saturday, except Saturday is
work on
like
Decidy.
49 hours long.
But all the, if you change minutes, that's when the people really are like, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Right, right.
Because that affects railroad schedules. And I mean, if you did that in our day, everything would have to change from the way DVRs work to the way CPR instructions are given. Like, you need seconds, minutes, and hours to be seconds, minutes, and hours, or society kind of fails.
Well, this butterfly effect is, I mean, not, listen, I love Bernie Sanders. I introduced him at an event.
I had no idea there was going to be so much Bernie on this podcast.
I wasn't even the one who brought up his name, but let me just say that, like, this reverberative effect of revolutionary change, like, if you really did eliminate college tuition, it doesn't just stop there, right? It has repercussions kind of throughout the system. It is a butterfly effect in every case when you walk in and arbitrarily institute a change that's that big.
Which entry did we talk about this in? Because we were talking about your run for city council and how you learned that people really just wanted, politicians just wanted politics to be reliable.
Right.
They
do not care if you have good ideas. They just want to know how you're going to vote each time.
They actively dislike good ideas.
Yeah.
And you're not wrong that a lot of these sweeping changes that get, you know, all of them are more complicated than the one sentence thing or the one paragraph thing on Elizabeth Warren's webpage.
Right, because then it's like, let's not just zoom in on one side of the political aisle. It's true across the board. But
sure, getting rid of the income tax would also be right. A foundational thing for America.
Both sides, Ken. but yeah, the idea that you can institute reform, I mean, it's so appealing to people. All we need to do is just change the number of minutes or change the length of minutes, and all of a sudden everything right. will be better. And you just have a, you know,
have
and
you
then
thought about the thousand of different things you've messed up by changing the length of a minute.
Somewhere in a maternity ward somewhere, a child is starving to death because nobody, or, you know, when Boeing outsourced manufacturing of some of their components to Italy, there's a famous incident where they got a huge shipment of extremely important parts and somebody had just not transposed it or had transposed the numbers directly into metric numbers rather than...
So they were centimeters instead of inches.
Yeah. And so they got all these parts and they were just completely wrong.
Well, I mean, just imagine a tiny little mis-sized Stonehenge megalith lowering onto your face forever. That's what it's going to be like in some of these revolutions.
No one knows who they were or where they came from.
Fabre d'Eglantine did not live to see his calendar in action for very long, like many of the geniuses behind the revolution. He was arrested January 12, 1794, or as he would have preferred it, the 23rd of Nivos.
That's the day right before my sister's birthday.
Oh, it's also Iron, which is, I guess, an appropriate day for this guy to get put in cuffs.
Oh, the Iron Throne.
And he was, right. And he was, no, they don't have thrones anymore. And he was sent to the guillotine on April 5th, 1794, which would have been the 16th of Germinal. Lettuce, again, is a good day to, it's a good day to lose your head. Yeah, it's a perfect day to lose your head. So he lived to see less than a full year of his new calendar. Gilbert Rome, the mathematician who dreamed up the math behind the new calendar, stabbed himself to avoid the guillotine a year later. As you know, so many of the architects of the revolution were the victims of the revolution.
A little bit of a Hermann Göring move.
Yeah. Is that aspirational?
I don't
know. WWHGD.
If somebody's gonna hang you tomorrow, I'm not sure what, you know, this whole business of killing yourself at night to deprive them of the satisfaction, that's pretty small.
It's also making a janitor do a lot of work.
Yeah. Why not get up on the...
Don't leave a mess in your hotel room.
Get up on the platform and give like a Saddam Hussein speech at the end.
But the calendar was... the calendar lasted for about a decade longer than its creators, but it was having troubles. By 1802, the problem with not having a Sabbath, a reliable full day off every 7 days, was really getting to the peasants, and the government agreed to replace the decades back with weeks. And in 1806, Napoleon finally swept it away. Ironically, the most famous date in the revolutionary calendar is probably the 18th of Brumaire, the day Napoleon took the throne, and the day the calendar went away. It was its own death date.
That's really interesting, because the early years of Napoleon were operating under the French calendar? I had no idea. I mean, by the time he invaded Russia, it would have been, they would have gone back to the Julian calendar. So that must have been...
It would have been so tricky in the thing. Like, okay, we're going to launch a counterstrike in 90 minutes. Do you mean 90 revolutionary minutes or 90 ancien régime minutes? Are those back?
Regime.
So we've talked about what kind of calendar the people of the people, I did it again, the biota of the future might have.
Right.
the sentient mucus-covered marsupial upside-down people of the future.
You said people again.
Yeah, they're marsupial people, though.
Oh, if you modify marsupi it, if people.
marsupi sales? If you modify it with another animal, it's okay, right?
Roach well, people. I don't know. Do you walk into a room of mixed-gendered people and say, hey, guys?
I kind of do.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Oh, I'm the worst.
Ouch.
But I can assume that the people listening to us millions of years hence will have a different calendar. If nothing else, I mean, Julius Caesar may not be relevant to them anymore, but also the astronomical inputs will change as well in the distant future.
Oh, curious.
We will not always have the same length of day, for example. The Earth will always take 365 days and a bit, a quarter, to go around the sun. That's not likely to change much over a period of time in which there could be life on Earth. But the length of the day might change. We've recently been able to see, we've looked at fossilized coral polyps. Coral polyps.
You're referring to the universal we, not you and I have not yet.
No, I mean me and my family, me and the kids.
Oh, sure.
We meaning the human race.
I wonder what you did on vacation.
We were looking at coral polyps. Yeah. Coral grows a new little layer of calcium carbonate every day.
Oh.
And it'll grow more on days with more sun and warmer temperatures. So you can see the procession of the seasons.
Coral is a lot busier than I thought.
Do you feel like there are days when you do not do that much?
Yeah, I'm not, there are days when I lose a layer.
I do make a little layer of myself every day, but it's mostly kind of grime and oil. Mm-hmm. It's not mineral. What that means is you can look at a coral fossil and actually see the year because you can see the sunlight and temperature cycles of the new layer, the new molecules of calcium carbonate that it added, limestone that it added every day and therefore every year. And as a result, we now believe that a day during the Silurian period, like maybe 400 million years ago, was a year of about 422-hour days.
422-hour days.
Sorry, 400 days of 22 hours apiece.
Right. Oh, interesting.
So more days, but shorter.
More days, but shorter.
So shorter work days, I guess, but also a shorter night's sleep.
Oh, right, because it takes 365 and a quarter 24-hour days.
Yeah.
But you would have 422
Yeah, the period of the Earth going around the sun is not going to change just because the Earth is spinning faster or slower.
Right, but the number of days goes up and down, and so it appears that the number of hours go up and down.
So if that is true, then we're speaking to an audience that probably does not have a 365
They have a 340-day year.
It's probably getting slower.
Huh.
Do we have any recommendations for what they should name their 300-and-odd days after?
How many Sabbaths are there? Maybe they could name them after episodes of Omnibus, right? Maybe we should get up to 350-odd episodes and then just shut it down.
Well, we're only up to 149 right now, which would be perfect for your two-month year.
Sure. And that concludes the French Revolutionary Calendar, entry 500.EX1202, certificate number 44270 in the omnibus. Futurelings, in the unlikely event that social media still exists in your 340-day year.
I guess the Beatles song would be 11 days a decade instead of 8 days a week in the French Revolution. Does that matter? It doesn't scan.
11 days a week. Maybe you only love the person 8 days a week, and then you have like 3 days to get your chores done.
You can't love anyone during a perfect scientific revolution.
Oh, that's right.
You can choose to mate with them to produce hardy offspring, but there's no romantic love.
You're singing it, sister. anyway, futurelings, we can only assume that Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are on the garbage pile of history. The first thing to be swept away in the next revolution.
Covered in many layers of calcium carbonate.
But
that's what I do every day, by the way. I build a layer of tweets around myself.
I know you do.
You can measure my productivity by going back in time and looking at my number of tweets per day.
A layer of funny tweets that keep people from really knowing the real Ken Jennings.
You can see summer. Yeah. Keep people out. You can see summer. My kids are home from school, so more tweets.
More tweets.
To get away
from
them.
That are less funny. you can see our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram posts from a time when we had a lot of extra time on our hands by not working regular jobs. Those are all archived at Omnibus Project.
Remember, John and I do not have regular jobs. That's the takeaway.
And a lot of, you know, I've discovered the last few episodes, we've been releasing our episodes late in the afternoon. And a lot of people have written in to complain because they listen to Omnibus in the morning on their way to work.
Well, again, that's a problem with a 24-hour day.
That's right.
22-hour day, maybe everything shakes up. Maybe everything's better.
Well, sure, 100-hour minutes or 100-minute hours.
This episode, finally, we would have hour-long episodes.
Every minute of the day is 100 hours long. You can see some of these hilarious and obfuscating tweets at Ken Jennings and at John Roderick.
I enjoyed your tweet this week about how, you're just trying to get out of this episode, but yeah. I enjoyed your tweet about how love songs should be more honest.
Yeah. It's not I'll love you forever. It's like you're pretty good, although you could be 10% better.
I wish you were 10% better. Let's see how this goes. There's a market for that.
There really is. I mean, I say it all the time. I call it out all the time. Look, I'm not going to be 20% better. So just stop thinking about it. I can see it behind your eyes. If only I lost 10 pounds and was slightly nicer.
Except people are listening to the Twitter-pated love songs to escape from these feelings in their real lives. Right,
that's true. So it's just like, I should've knew, baby. You can email us at theomnibusproject@gmail.com. We didn't get hotrod@hotmail.com.
Too late.
Or goldenrod@hotmail.com.
Hot Rod, if you're listening, please sell us your Hotmail address.
You can mail us things at P.O. Box 55744, Shoreline, Washington, 98155.
Here's a fun thing that came. A listener named Celeste sent us Blabberings, her self-published memoir of funny stories from her hometown of Dothan, Alabama.
Oh, thank you, Celeste. We both will crack it open and...
We now have 91 pages worth of folksy homespun Dothan, Alabama anecdotes.
We'll leave the light on for you. Also, please join our Futurelings group on Facebook, the Omnibus Futurelings, for lots of strenuous debate over whether the word panties is acceptable in polite society.
You just said it again.
Panties.
They can't tell you're saying it in quotes. It's as bad to them as if you're actually saying it.
Moist.
Ointment. You know what word I don't like? Crave.
You don't like Crave?
I find Crave to be cringy, and I've never met anyone else who thinks so.
What do you feed your cat?
But here's the thing. I don't go on the internet and say, hey, stop saying Crave on your podcast. What do I feed my cat?
My kitty cat craves chicken. My kitty cat craves milk. My kitty cat craves tuna. And my kitty cat craves Crave.
It's Crave with a K, right?
Is it? No.
Oh, it's not?
Crave with a K?
Does that seem like white nationalist?
It does. That's what you feed your little cat with a Hitler mustache. Of which there are surprisingly so many.
Yeah, my sister's neighbor has a little cat that looks exactly like Hitler.
Does he have the bangs? Does the cat like swoop his bangs over to the side?
No, but he did annex Poland, oddly.
Interesting that you would use the word annex there. Seems like you're a little bit of an apologist.
It wasn't an invasion.
I think we would say invasion.
He had every right. No, you're right. It was not an annexation. That sounds too legal. This may be your last chance to order one of our fine Omnibus Project shirts. If you were listening to this in a prompt fashion, this is probably the last day when we made these two fine shirt designs available.
Please buy an Omnibus shirt because Ken and I are both living in abject poverty. And also, we want to see you out in the world. If two Omnibus listeners are coming through the rye, you're probably already going to recognize each other because you're both ichthyologists or whatever.
You both have the same number of tentacles.
But another way to know one another in the streets and in the sheets is by the fact that you would be both wearing Omnibus t-shirts.
Do not send photos of you in the sheets doing anything in your Omnibus t-shirts.
So go to cottonbureau.com/people/omnibus and order your shirt today.
If you're listening in the far future, you have missed the sale by several million years.
Also, we did not have t-shirts with like 8 tentacle openings, so you would have felt disparaged.
We assume bilateral symmetry and we apologize for that privilege. Listeners, from our vantage point in your distant past, we have no idea how long our civilization survived. We hope and pray that the catastrophe we fear may never come. But if the worst comes soon, if our calendar too comes to an end, then this recording, like all our recordings, may be our final word to you. But if Providence allows, we hope to be back with you soon for another entry in the Omnibus.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.